All too often we mask truth in artifice, concealing ourselves for fear of losing the ones we love, or prolonging a deception for those we wish to expose. We hide behind that which brings us comfort from pain and sadness, or use it to repel a truth too devastating to accept. And this week's opening quote comes from Emily Thorne. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, all the world is indeed a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and that has never been more exemplified by what we've seen unfolding around us in the last few months. As I touched on last week, the fear hype that's being meted out to the world through this Ebola scare and the whole ISIS situation and the wars raging across the Middle East, the war in Ukraine, jetliners being shot down, sanctions against Russia, countries blocking their borders for fear of Ebola. All of this is theatre for the masses, folks. And what it shows is that the powers that believe they be are truly running scared. And they're bringing out everything they can. They're really bringing out all the big guns. They're doing everything they can to distract as much of the world as possible. And in many ways, it's paying off for them. Of course, in many ways, it isn't, because it's also serving to wake a lot of people up. But it's been very interesting to see how far they are willing to take things and how much they're willing to ramp up the game and how many directions they're willing to push things from. I mean, it just seems to be coming from everywhere these days, folks. It really does. They're doing everything they can to make sure people are distracted and make sure people are kept in fear. And truly, the level of deception that we are seeing everywhere defies analysis. It literally does. It's just escalated to mammoth proportions. The whole ISIL terrorist group is a fine example of this, folks. This has really got nothing to do with Islam, this group. This is an obviously Western-run group, which is serving Western interests. It's very effectively divided Iraq into three areas at the moment, and you'll notice that this was always part of the plan, was to divide Iraq into three separate states, one state for the Sunnis, one for the Shiites, and one for the Kurds. This is the general balkanization of the entire Arab world, which is, of course, part of the Greater Israel Project. This is why they have destabilized all of the Arab countries in the region, because they wish to split all of these countries up into smaller states, because smaller states are much less of a threat. And smaller states are, of course, also much easier to occupy and take over and turn into part of the Greater Israel Project. The plan for Greater Israel was, of course, outlined by a man called Oded Yinon, and the plan calls for a massive expansion of the State of Israel to include all territories within the Nile Valley and the Euphrates. This, of course, is what is represented by the two blue bands on the Jewish flag, the two blue stripes representing the two rivers of the Nile and Euphrates, with the Star of David representing Israel between those two rivers. The Euphrates is, of course, a river that runs through Iraq, so this indicates just exactly how much territory Israel intends to claim in the end. But the plan has always been to break up all of the surrounding nations around Israel and thereby render them ineffective in any defense they may be able to offer towards the expansion of Israel. And when you look at Israel's actions, you can see how all this is falling into place. And also when you look at Israel's recent actions, you can see why the Middle East has suddenly erupted into the massively unstable situation that we now see there. And you can see just how much this instability serves Israel's purposes. And it's also interesting that things just happen right on cue, just as Israel needs them. For example, as we saw Israel imploding due to its recent actions in Gaza, suffering a massive public backlash from right around the world, suddenly a plane gets shot down in Ukraine, and suddenly we have ISIS spring into being, and we have this terrible terrorist threat rampaging across the Middle East. And really, folks, when one looks at ISIS, ISIL, IS, whatever you want to call them, it should be blatantly obvious to everybody that these people are not Muslim extremists. They are extremists, but they are most definitely not Muslim. I mean, you've really got to look at this, folks. This group is rampaging across Muslim countries, killing Muslims. It's killing women and children and anybody it can get its hands on. And if you read the Quran, then it says that you're not allowed to kill women and children. Even in battle, it's not permitted to kill women and children. So if these people were Muslim extremists, they would be towing the line very, very specifically as far as the Quran goes. But what they are doing is ensuring themselves damnation for all time, so therefore they are not religious extremists. It's just the West is calling them Muslim. Of course, there's some factions in the movement which are probably calling themselves Muslim, but these are probably Mossad, CIA, or Blackwater. That is who ISIS is. It's a completely Western-run operation which is designed to pave the way for Western intervention into areas that the West desperately wants to go and bomb, but hasn't been able to because of the huge backlash they've been getting from the citizens of the world who really don't want the US to go in and bomb Syria and really don't want the illegal war in Iraq to continue. ISIS, of course, has ensured that it will and has provided everything the US and Israel needs to escalate the conflict right on cue as they were receiving a massive amount of backlash around the world. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the so-called caliph, the so-called head of ISIL in Iraq, has been identified in a French report as being a man called Simon Elliott, who was born of Jewish parents and is a Mossad agent. And he has also been recently named by the Chechen president as being a CIA asset. There are also certain photographs that are around the place which depict ISIL members. There's one of an ISIL member on the back of a truck, and he appears to have a US Army tattoo on his arm. So there should be no doubt that this is a Western-run group. Of course, all you really have to do is look at the actions, folks. In any situation, you need to ask the question, quid bono, who benefits? So ask yourself who benefits from the actions of ISIS, ISIL, ICE, whatever you want to call them. And of course, the only ones who benefit are the West, who have desperately been trying to kickstart the conflict in the region for the last couple of years. And so that, of course, is who is behind the entire ISIL group. And of course, folks, all one really has to do is step back and look at the situation. I mean, what is the result of ISIS, ISIL rampaging across the Middle East? Well, it's been a huge wave of Islamophobia sweep across the globe. The whole world seems to hate Muslims at the moment. So how is ISIS or ISIL or this group going to succeed in creating an Islamic State? Of course, it's not. What it's doing is it's succeeding in turning the whole world against Muslims. Now, who is it on this earth who would like the whole world to hate Muslims? And of course, it's Israel. So this has always been the plan, folks. You use the Bible in order to suck the Christians into supporting you. You wipe out the religion that is very close to Christianity, which is Islam. I mean, Islam and Christianity are actually very, very similar to each other and are both a far cry from Judaism. And if any two religions would be allied, it would be these two. Not Judeo-Christianism. This just doesn't make sense at all. So this is what they've done. They've sucked the Christians into supporting the rogue state of Israel, and they are using the Christians to stomp out Islam, and once they've dealt with Islam, then they will turn and wipe out the Christian countries as well. And they're already in the process of doing this, folks, simply through the economic model. That's how it's been done. I mean, the standard of living in Western Christian countries has degraded dramatically. Most Western Christian countries are suffering from economic implosions at the moment. Of course, the financial system, the Federal Reserve System, and the whole World Bank system is, of course, run by these same Zionist interests. And the reason the Christians support Israel, it's a very interesting thing, because it says in the Bible that the Christians must support the Holy Land of Israel. But it's the Holy Land of Israel they're supposed to be supporting. And of course, the Holy Land of Israel existed for time immemorial within the borders of Palestine. And it's that Holy Land the Christians are supposed to be supporting, not the state of Israel, which is a fabrication. It's a creation of Zionists. It's a creation of the Khazar Jews from Europe who actually came down and created the Jewish state, which isn't actually supposed to exist. So by the creation of this Jewish state, they've actually convinced the Christians into supporting them because the Christians believe they're supporting the Holy Land of Israel. But they're not. They're supporting a rogue state, which is the main source of instability in the world today. And not only that, but it's run by people who are not whom they pretend to be. The people who run the state of Israel are not Semitic Jews. They have no genetic claim to the country. They have no ancestral claim to the country. They have no right to be there whatsoever. What they've done is they've come and usurped the Holy Land, turned it into their own country, and the actual Semitic Jews have been as dispossessed by them as the Palestinians have, and it's the actual Semitic Jews that get the blame for their actions. It's been a very clever plan right from the beginning, but the fact is that the modern-day state of Israel was built on a lie and founded on terrorism. But of course, the people generally don't know any of this because the media simply doesn't tell them, and they just believe their governments, and their governments all say they must support Israel. Mainly because most of the governments of the Western world have been infiltrated by dual citizens, or such is the case here in Australia, they're simply populated by people who support corporate interests rather than the interests of the people of their country. All the world is a stage, folks, and if you have only one rule that you ever follow in life, it should be to never, ever, ever believe anything the government tells you. And of course, the media, folks, will forget the media because the media does not tell the truth anymore. It does not bring the news to the people anymore. All it really does is sort of function as a kind of an unofficial mouthpiece for the government. But back to the Greater Israel Project. This is actually a Zionist plan for the Middle East, folks. It's also known as the Yinin Plan, because, as I mentioned before, it was conceived by a man by the name of Oded Yinin. And what it is an Israeli strategic plan to ensure Israeli regional superiority. And what this plan stipulates is that Israel must reconfigure its geopolitical environment through, as I said, the balkanization of the surrounding Arab states into smaller and weaker states. And when viewed in this context, the war on Iraq, the war on Lebanon, the 2011 war on Libya, the ongoing war in Syria, not to mention the process of regime change in Egypt, can much more easily be understood. It's all part of the Yinin plan for Greater Israel, which, as I said, consists of weakening and eventually fracturing neighbouring Arab states as part of an Israeli expansionist project known as the Greater Israel Project. And that's what we are seeing in the Middle East today. And really, folks, when you look at it and you look at the situation that's going on there and all of these little wars that are springing up, you look at the fact that the West went in there and turned Libya into a failed state. None of this really makes any sense until you look at all of it within the context of the Yinin plan for Greater Israel, and then suddenly it all makes perfect sense. And you can throw the sudden appearance and actions of ISIS in there as well. The actions of ISIS or ISIL really don't make any sense at all until you put it within the context of the Yinin plan for Greater Israel, and suddenly ISIS makes sense as well. So there is a great deal of validity to these claims, and there is a great deal to this plan, and it is very obvious to see that it is being played out right now. As part of this expansionist process, the plan also calls for an expansion of Jordan into Greater Jordan. This will be, of course, because they need somewhere to put all the refugees they intend to create from Palestine and Syria and all the neighbouring countries. And all of these refugees will eventually be placed in Greater Jordan, which will exist within the boundaries of Greater Israel, and, of course, will eventually be squeezed out the way the Palestinians are being squeezed out of their lands now. In fact, there are many Jews who believe that this is the only possible way peace will ever be achieved in the Middle East, is for Israel to basically take over all of the neighbouring Arab nations so that there can never be any possible power or government arise that could threaten the existence of Israel, and certainly no state who could ever threaten its total domination of the region. This is, of course, an obvious result of the victim mentality that is programmed and instilled into the people of Israel, whereby they believe themselves to be eternal victims. They believe that everybody hates them, and so they must dominate and crush everybody around them. This is why peace will never be achieved in the Middle East while Israel remains the dominant power, because Israel will always cause war and conflict just the way it's done since the state's creation. And this is, again, a direct result of the victim mentality and the programming that is instilled within the people of Israel. Of course, it isn't just the people of Israel that are programmed. We've got heavy programming going on in Western countries all over the world. The Islamophobia program that's running everywhere is absolutely amazing. And it's not just Islamophobia, it's basically phobia against anything that is not Western. We've seen a huge escalation in war rhetoric against Russia lately as well. And remember that Russia bailed America out about 12 months ago, and here we have the United States doing everything it can to vilify Russia. Recently, there was a launch that went awry in the United States. They actually had Russian engines in the rocket, so of course they tried to blame Russia for the launch failing. And bear in mind, these rockets were decades old, these engines, and they'd also been modified by an American company. But of course, they attempted to use the event to vilify Russia. They're attempting to blame Russia for shooting down a plane in Ukraine, which was most likely Israel or the United States that shot it down. And they're doing everything they can to create a conflict between East and West. I mean, truly, folks, the rhetoric we're hearing from our news medias is reminiscent of Cold War rhetoric. Back in the days when everything was Russia's fault and we used to blame Russia for everything, this is virtually what we're hearing from the news now. Completely unwarranted, basing no facts at all, before any investigation is even suggested or undertaken. They're blaming Russia for things such as this rocket. Before it had even hit the ground, they're blaming Russia for the problem without any investigation at all. And this is, as I said, very reminiscent of Cold War rhetoric and shows just how grossly irresponsible our news media actually are. Because they're not presenting information based on fact, they're just jumping to whatever conclusion works for their political agenda. And that's all we're hearing from the media. So don't trust these people, folks. Like I said, they're not bringing you news anymore. They're just functioning as an unofficial spokesperson for the government. That's all the media is. And when you look at the situation, folks, you look at what we're hearing from government and you look at what you're hearing from the media, what becomes obvious is that America is desperately trying to kickstart World War III. Obama has been trying to escalate global conflict ever since taking office. I guess that's why they gave him the Nobel Peace Prize when he was elected, simply because he was going to start so many wars and they had to try to whitewash over it in some way. But it's an interesting thing, folks, to be in a situation where Vladimir Putin appears to be the only world leader who's actually speaking sense at the moment. This is certainly a far cry from the global situation 20 years ago. Whoever would have thought that Putin would suddenly become the good guy? Not that he is the good guy, not that Russia is a tolerant state at all, but it's interesting listening to the rhetoric we're hearing from our politicians, and it's interesting that Putin appears to be the only one making sense. Of course, don't expect any sense from the Prime Minister of Australia. This man has absolutely excelled himself in stupidity. It's never been seen before, I don't think. The level of moronic activity from a world leader has been taken to an entirely new level by Tony Abbott. The man personifies the word imbecile, the word tyrant, and the word sociopath. There's never been anything like this man in the history of politics, I don't think. And he certainly has done a great deal to wake up much of Australia to the fact that our political system is a joke and our country is being run by morons and corporate puppets. This has never been more clearly exemplified by Tony Abbott and the merry band of sociopaths and morons he has placed as his cabinet. But again, folks, I think these people are running scared. I think that's why this little moron we've got as a Prime Minister is doing the things that he's doing. He's recently passed legislation whereby once your child reaches school age, once it reaches the age of 6, you no longer get family support from the government. That's it, folks. Your child's six. He's grown now. It's time for him to go out and make his own way in the world, according to the maggot regime, the Abbott regime. That's what they're saying. And the rhetoric we're seeing in Canada as well, the staged event we saw at the Parliament House recently when the gunman came in. All of those shots fired, of course, nobody killed except a guard on the gates, and a wonderful excuse for new legislation to be brought in Canada. Tony Abbott is, of course, chomping at the bit here, hoping for some type of terrorist attack in Australia. He keeps pointing out that we are a threat, we are under threat from terrorists, and doing everything he can to make sure the threat is real. Like sending planes over to help with the illegal war in Iraq and the illegal bombing of Syria. He really is a disgusting, warmongering little cretin, this Prime Minister, and I can only hope that the people of this country wake up to themselves enough to start some sort of a publicly initiated referendum to get this little creep out of office before he manages to destroy the country completely. I mean, not that he has any more power than any of the previous puppets or any of the puppets that will come. It's just that he is such a sociopath and he is such a buttlicker that he is willing to do anything he can to gain the approval of his corporate masters, and so he really has been taking things to as an extreme degree as possible since he took the reins of power in this country. Really is a disgusting little individual, folks, and a total failure as a human being. But then I guess that is a prerequisite for any successful politician in today's modern political climate. But as I said, folks, I really do believe they're doing what they're doing because they are running scared. This is why we've had people such as David Cameron make statements that anybody who suggests Israel was responsible for 9/11 is as dangerous as ISIS. So they're attempting to vilify the truth movement or the alternate media or whatever you want to call it, and suggest that anybody who speaks out against the government and anybody who speaks the truth, anybody who speaks anything that is not supportive of the government line is a terrorist. This is the way they're attempting to paint things, folks, and they're doing this because they're scared. There's no other reason that they would have for doing this. Because what they're essentially saying is that if you have an analytical mind and you think outside of the box and you question the official narrative in any way at all, then we are going to call you a terrorist. And in a way, it's good that he's making statements such as this because it's showing people just how scared these people are and just how frightened they are of being exposed. And also just how far they're prepared to go because, this is a blatant human rights abuse. It's a blatant attack on free speech. We've even had here in our country, we've had Tony Abbott say that we need to outlaw whistleblowers. And of course, only a government that is scared of being exposed for whatever actions it's done and a government that wants to remove itself of any accountability would ever even suggest to outlaw whistleblowers. Because if you outlaw whistleblowers, you effectively outlaw government accountability. That is its only purpose. And so it shows just how corrupt this government is and how scared it is of being exposed. And I think it's the same in the United States. They're attempting to outlaw whistleblowers. This is, of course, because of the Julian Assange and Edward Snowden affairs. And you could tell this was the way it was going to go. That's why they focused so much on the individual in order to distract you from the information that they were presenting. They focus so much on Edward Snowden rather than on the information that Edward Snowden leaked. It's the information that's important, not Edward Snowden. Whenever they focus on the individual, it's a classic distraction away from the actual issue, which is the criminality of government, not the fact that someone exposed that criminality. But you know, there's been so many people that have exposed government criminality for so many years now, and the public just doesn't seem to worry about it very much. I don't know why. When all of that stuff came out that Julian Assange released, everyone started debating whether Julian Assange was the good guy or not. No one actually looked at the fact that the government had been committing blatant war crimes. And they never really looked at the fact that these crimes were going to continue until the people stood up and held their government accountable for their actions. The same thing happened with Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden released information showing that the United States government and its allies have been breaking every single law in the book. They've been spying on their nations. They've been carrying out espionage against not only other nations on Earth, but also against their own people. They have been abusing the power and the trust that was granted to them by the people who elected them to office and elected them in good faith, believing these people would look after our infrastructure and manage our countries in a responsible manner. They did exactly the opposite, and when that was exposed, the people began a debate over whether the man who did the exposing had done the right thing or not. And they forgot all about the information that was presented, information which showed beyond any reasonable doubt at all that all of our political systems in all Western countries are populated by criminals who break the law every single day and who do not have the best interest of their people at heart. These are people who have lied to us on every single occasion that they can. These are people who lied to us to gain office. These are people who broke every single election promise they made, and people who have sold us down the river and continued to enslave our countries to a system of fictional economic slavery. These are people who are out-and-out criminals, and they've shown themselves to be criminals time and time again. And yet we continue to debate the finer points. We continue to do nothing about it, and we continue to allow ourselves to be distracted. The question is, how much are we going to continue to take, folks? Because if we don't rein these criminal institutions in, then we are going to allow them to destroy not only the world around us, but destroy this world's ability to support life. And we are certainly allowing them right now to enslave all of our populations into a police state based on a fictional war on terror, all which is based on a lie. And it's about time we stood up and paid attention. Now, looking at the world today, it isn't just that our governments are criminal governments, and indeed they are, but it's our media as well, which is a really big problem that we all face in the Western world. The fact that we have a media which does not tell us the truth, does not bring us real news, and does not perform actual journalism anymore. I mean, sure, there's little bits of it here and there, but nothing of any substance. There really isn't. There's nothing of any substance from our media at all. The media functions as an unofficial spokesperson for the government. It's just a mouthpiece that tells the people what the government wants them to believe. That's all it is. And in fact, our media is just as criminal as our government. In fact, more so, because our media gets on television and lies to the people on a daily basis. And not only does it lie to the people, it programs them with neuro-linguistic programming. It offers them opinions that are not their own and tells them what to believe. And it's very, very clever the way this is done. But once you become aware of it and you become aware of the type of rhetoric and type of programming that the media is putting out, it becomes very, very apparent for all to see. You just have to develop the right type of eyes in order to see it. But once you can see it, then it's very much in your face all the time. It becomes very, very obvious to you what's going on. And the level of programming is really quite astounding, folks, and it comes at you from all directions and very often looks to be the opposite of what it actually is. For example, some of the Islamophobia program that we're seeing running around the planet, we're seeing it here in Australia to a phenomenal degree, all of this animosity being directed towards Muslims, mainly because of ISIS, but the government and the media and also corporations are also playing a role in this to ensure that it really gets into people's minds and gets under people's skin. For example, we see the media all the time screaming out about the terrible Muslim menace and the Islamic extremists. And whenever anybody does anything wrong, the media always make sure that it's someone who recently converted to Islam. They always make sure that they tell you that, whether they did or didn't. They always make sure that it's part of the rhetoric. If they can include Islam in there in some way, they will do so. And while this is going on, at the same time, you have the politicians, people such as our imbecile Prime Minister, going on television and telling us that we must be tolerant towards the Muslim community. We must reach out to the moderate Muslims and embrace them because we need them as well as part of our community, and we need to respect these people. And they're promoting hatred and they're promoting respect. And then the corporations do things like they put halal symbols on their cheeses and things. Someone the other day bought a packet of cheese and they said they are very careful not to buy halal sanctioned food because this is food of the devil, because it's Muslim food and it's been cursed and all sorts of stuff. They looked at this packet and they couldn't see a halal label on it until they took the outer packet off and there was a halal label inside, and how disgusted they are. Now, why is these halal labels appearing around the place? They're appearing on food because the government wants the people to perceive that Islam is gradually encroaching out across the world. It's gradually infiltrating everywhere. And you need to be scared of this Islamization of the Western world. That's the reason they do it. They put these halal labels on there just to freak people out about the Islamification of their societies. Recently, there was going to be a mosque built in the area that I live, and they actually put it to a public vote to see how many of the public would approve of a mosque being built in the area. Why did they put it to a public vote? Because they want people to be scared of the encroachment of Islam. Islam is infiltrating everywhere. Of course, you don't see any public votes if anyone would like to build a synagogue or a church anywhere. And you don't see anyone complaining about food that is created in a manner so as to be kosher for the Jewish people. You don't see any problem with this at all. But if you see anything at all being prepared for Muslim people, then it's the terrible Muslim menace encroaching upon our society. That's the way it's been presented to people. And it's been done in a very, very clever and very underhanded manner. Very innocent looking the way it's presented, but it's done just to get under people's skin and make them perceive that there is this massive Islamic infiltration happening around the planet. And they need to also believe that Islamism is an extremely violent religion, which is why we see Western-run operations such as the ISIS-ISIL movement rampaging across the Middle East at the moment, attempting to present a violent, extremist version of Islam to the world, when, as I said earlier, these people are most definitely not following the Muslim faith. They're following the Muslim faith about as much as Torquemada was following the Christian faith when he staged the Spanish Inquisition, put it that way. I mean, like I've often said, folks, I'm personally not a very religious-minded person. I don't follow any religion. But the Muslims that I have met have been some of the kindest, most generous, most wonderful people I've ever met. And when I see the amount of rhetoric that's being directed at these people, completely unwarranted, when everything that is being directed at them seems to be in direct violation to the actual religion, then, well, I'm just forced to say something, because it's just gone from the sublime to the ridiculous, and you can't honestly stand by and just allow these types of lies and disinformation to be spread around the globe to such a ridiculous degree as we're seeing, because it's only going to lead to bad things. And indeed, it already has led to bad things. We've seen so many people killed under false pretenses. You know, the entire Arab world has been decimated under false pretenses. Even the false pretense which started it all, which was 9/11, the biggest false flag in history, which has Israeli fingerprints all over it. All of it has led to this point, and it's about time people stood up and paid attention, because it's coming to a town near you, folks. Things are really escalating out of control, and it's about time we stood up and did something about it. The question is, what do we do? Well, it's got to start with public awareness, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what you can do out there. You can spread information with your neighbours, even if you just share these radio shows or something. Just do something, folks. Get the word out to people to take the blinders off. Help people see things a little bit more objectively, or at least look at things a little bit more objectively, so they're able to make their minds up for themselves. That's the problem, is that people swallow the opinions of the news readers and they take those opinions on as their own. This is a lot of what the television does. This is the alpha state that television sets up when it broadcasts to people. It puts people in like a dream state, almost a hypnotic state, where they are open to suggestion, and then it instills opinions into them. And most people's opinions are not their own. They are the opinions of the news readers. And most people's opinions of global situations are based on very little factual information, because they've never really taken the time to look for themselves. They've just swallowed what the television has told them. And that's where you can make a difference. And that's where all of us can make a difference. That's where I can make a difference. That's why I do what I do, folks, because I think it's important for people to look at things from a broader perspective than the one that the mainstream media presents them with. And with what's happening in the world today, the time for people to look at things from a broader perspective has never been more important. It's really, really important that people do step back and look at things. It's really important that people see the bigger picture and not just swallow the rhetoric that they're fed by the media. You've got to always ask yourself who benefits, folks. When you look at the global situation, there's no way the Arab world benefits from anything we're being told the Arab world is doing. The only people who benefit from what is going on in the Arab world at the moment are those who support the Greater Israel Project, because that's always been what it was about. That's what 9/11 was about. It wasn't just about a war against the Arabs. It's about decimating the whole Muslim faith and creating a wedge between the religions. And the way it's being done is it's supporting the Greater Israel plan, but it's impoverishing the Christian nations at the same time. So both the Muslim world and the Christian world are being destroyed in order to support this Zionist ideology. That's exactly what's going on. And this isn't anti-Semitic, ladies and gentlemen. This is simply stepping back and putting things on a global stage, connecting the dots and figuring out that one and one equals two. That's really all it's about. And we need to pay attention to this, folks, because we could have a peaceful world. There's no reason for all of these wars to be raging across the planet. There's no reason for anybody to be in a state of hardship anywhere on this planet. There's no reason for anyone to be in a state of poverty. There's no reason for us to be continuing to support this economic model. There's no reason for us to be continuing to support all of these wars and all of the destruction that's being meted out to the people of the world. Because ultimately what it's really all about is depopulation and control. It's not about bringing freedom to anyone. It's not about bringing prosperity to anyone. It's not about keeping anybody safe. It's about destroying any opposition to this system and locking down those that are left within a control grid that they will never escape from. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think they're going to get away with it. But I just wonder how many of my brothers and sisters are going to have to suffer and continue to suffer until the people of the world notice what's going on. I mean, what's going on in Gaza now is even more out of control. Don't take your eyes off that, folks, because it's still ongoing. President Sisi of Egypt is now in the process of destroying homes in Rafah on the Egyptian side because he wants to create a 300-meter buffer zone between any buildings in Rafah and the Gaza border. This is, of course, due to the recent attack on the Al-Arish checkpoint, which was probably Israel or General Sisi himself. It wouldn't surprise me if he'd set this up himself. He's just not a nice guy. But they're doing everything they can to completely isolate the Gaza Strip, folks, and it's just ongoing. I was actually supposed to be in there this month, but I got extremely ill with meningitis, and I don't recommend that to anybody. That's why I didn't do a show last week. I was actually down for the count with meningitis. I quite literally nearly died a couple of weeks ago, folks. I'm quite lucky to be here talking to you today, and I'm still actually quite far from well. I'm only at about 35% of what I really should be at the moment. So excuse me if I've been a little vague on the show today. But that did prevent me from going into Gaza Strip. But had I gone in there, there was a major attack at El Arish checkpoint. There were 33 people killed, and the whole Sinai has been locked down as a result, and Rafah crossing has been closed by Egypt indefinitely. So had I gone to Gaza, I would now be trapped in there. But it's getting harder and harder to get into Gaza Strip. And of course, Israel has broken the ceasefire against the people of Gaza every single day since the truce was declared. Of course, they're doing so hoping for a response from Hamas so they can cry victim and go in and carpet bomb the place again. But we're just all hoping that's not going to happen. And the only thing that's going to prevent it is if public attention stays squarely on Gaza Strip. We've got to realize that a lot of what's going on in the Middle East is to distract from what's happening in Gaza, and it's to distract from the implosion of the State of Israel. They've really got to cook up this Muslim menace, folks, to make sure they can justify the continued existence of Israel. But I don't think Israel will continue to exist for much longer. I think it's going to bring about its own implosion. I think it's revealed itself to the world now, and I think it's just revealing itself more and more as the days go on. I think people are waking up to the fact that there's no way ISIS, ISIL is supporting Muslim interests, and that the only ones who are benefiting from this is the West. And I think people are realizing that it's not Muslim extremists that are behind this at all. It's Israel who is behind this. It's certainly not Muslim extremists. If there are any type of religious extremists behind it at all, then it's more likely Christian extremists, such as the head of Blackwater or Z or whatever it's called now, Eric Prince, who is a fundamental Christian extremist who has done untold damage through Iraq, the murder of over 1.6 million people in Iraq so far. And bear in mind, folks, that every person who has died in the Iraq war, these have not been victims of war. These have been murder victims, because the war in Iraq is an illegal war. It was a war that was started under false pretenses. It is based on a lie. It is a war of aggression. It always has been. It wasn't to protect the world from Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, and it wasn't to free the Iraqi people. It was to murder the Iraqi people and to steal the resources of their country. And every victim of that war is a murder victim, as is every victim of the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. Both these wars are blatant crimes against humanity, as is the situation in Gaza Strip. That's the thing with Gaza, folks. It's not just a crime against the Palestinian people. It's a crime against humanity. And it's ongoing, and it will continue to be ongoing until we, the people of the world, rein our rogue governments in and inject a little sanity into the global situation. And sanity is certainly something that we will not get from our governments, because those who populate our governments are psychopaths. These people are quite literally and quite obviously insane. And I say that because it is the only thing that can explain the current global situation. But there are things that each of us can do in our own respective communities. Of course, the most important thing we can do is to lead by example in all that we do, and to ask the right questions at the right time in front of as many people as we can, in as public a manner as possible, in as eloquent a manner as possible, in a polite a manner as possible. But we must ask the hard questions. We must spread information to people, and we must pay attention to the global situation. And always ask the question, who benefits? When you see anything in the news, folks, always ask the question, who benefits? I mean, sure, there's going to be little things that happen, little crimes are committed by little people every day. But when you see something major happen, rest assured it's happening because it was planned to happen. Because there's nothing major on this planet that isn't done by design. It's all part of a higher scheme. It always is. If it's major, then it's planned to be that way. And it's important that you look at things from that perspective, and it's important that you step back and view things holistically and not just toe the party line and jump on whatever bandwagon comes down the street first. You know, the media will always whitewash over the issue. It will always spread disinformation, and it will always make sure whatever situation arises is molded to fit a certain political agenda, the way they did with 9/11, the way they did with the recent failed rocket launch. They simply jump on any opportunity they can to make whatever news story they can find fit the political agenda. But once you become aware of it and you begin to see how they do this on every single occasion, then eventually you can read between the lines and you can see what's really being said and you can see how public opinion is being molded and you can begin to ask yourself why. What agenda does it serve? And then when you step back, you begin to see the agenda. And that's something that everybody can realize. I mean, if you really step back and look at our political situation, look at the situation we were in our countries 20 years ago. Look at the direction it was going and notice how it's continued along the same direction. Regardless of who we vote in, things always continue along the same direction because there's a higher hand that controls things. It isn't the governments. The governments are simply puppets. Governments are put there to appease the people while the world is molded around them and their wealth is harvested from them. Their time is harvested from them. Their lives are harvested from them. That's all government is. Government is simply an appeasement mechanism. Government is put there so we can put a new face on the coin every few years. Government is there to provide us with the illusion of choice, the illusion that we can actually participate and make a difference in the political process. But government is simply a collection of corporate puppets. It's what's behind government that actually pulls the strings. And what's behind the government is the global financial system. That's what pulls the strings. The money is the glue that holds the whole mechanism together. Control of the money system, the rise and fall of various currencies is what controls the global situation. If any country wants to do anything that may interfere with this, then it's very easy to bring about economic sanctions against the country or to simply devalue its currency. And this is what's been done on more than one occasion, many, many times in the past. And everybody's always so concerned about the economy, and people are discarded in order to support the economic model. Everything has an economic value, and yet the economy is fiction. It's just numbers on a screen. And as I've said many times in the past, our continued support for a system based in permanent economic growth can only have one result, and that is the discarding of all life on this planet and the rendering of this planet into a state where it is incapable of supporting human life. That can be the only possible outcome of our continued support for this economic system. And that's another reason why we have to stand up and pay attention. But again, when people wake up to this fact, they don't know what to do. That's the big problem. And even with me coming on here and saying, you've got to stand up and make a difference, you've got to get out there and get involved, people just don't know what to do. And as I've said so often in the past, folks, what you've got to do is break down the barriers in your community. You've got to get to know people. You've got to become friends with people. We have to have a strong communal response to the actions of our government. And that's only going to come from a community that respects itself. And this only comes from people who respect themselves. And most of what causes us not to respect ourselves and those around us is because we judge ourselves according to economic and social parameters, which are not our own. You know, everything's based in economics, and we're often too busy running on the treadmill to ever have time to pay attention to those around us. And we tend to view people as commodities. We tend to view people as how we may gain from our friendship with these people, because our life is based in economics. It's all about money. We've got to be collecting this stuff all the time. And so we tend to form relationships which further our economic value or further our social standing or further our business agenda. It's very rarely to do with friendship. Well, sometimes it is, but most of the time these days we base our relationships on economic or social positioning, and that's very unfortunate as well. But again, it's a result of this system. It's just because we're trained to think that way. But if we can break out of that mindset and get back to real human values, then we have a chance of getting out of this mess. You know, really, when you look at it, folks, you look at the whole situation in the Middle East, the whole ISIS situation, the whole Ebola scare, the only thing that's going to break us out of this as well is getting back to real human values, seeing beyond the veil, seeing beyond what is offered to us by the media, seeing beyond the lies and rhetoric that is presented to us by government, seeing beyond the excuses they provide us as to why we need to go and kill more people in more foreign countries. And even with ISIS, folks, this is supposed to be this rampant terrorist organization that's just running wild everywhere, and they're going to go in and bomb Syria. Well, where are they bombing? Where is ISIS? Where are they? Which houses are they in? How do they know where these people are? They don't. They just go in and bomb suburb after suburb and kill civilian after civilian and just keep going in the hope that maybe they'll get a terrorist somewhere along the line. It's like when they give people chemotherapy for cancer. Chemotherapy just kills cells. It kills every cell it can find. They just hope that it kills more cancer cells than other cells and that you survive. That seems to be the way we deal with these so-called terrorist groups. We just go in and bomb an entire country willy-nilly and hope that we get a few of them along the way. Look at the recent drone strikes in Pakistan. 49 civilians killed for every one suspected terrorist. And this is not a confirmed terrorist, this is a suspected terrorist. We're actually getting one in 50. So 49 people are killed. 49 innocent people are killed, exterminated, murdered by the West, murdered by Obama, in order to kill one person who may be suspected of terrorism. And what is terrorism these days, folks? Well, according to the parameters that are presented to us by our governments, a terrorist is anyone who doesn't toe the party line, anyone who questions the government agenda, and anyone who fights back when they are faced with terrorism from government sources. If you fight back against anything government does, you're a terrorist. The government can come and inflict the worst kind of terrorism on anybody it likes, and anybody who fights back against this terrorism is classed as a terrorist. And the media is, of course, only too happy to jump on board. We really have to do something about these corrupt institutions, folks. I'm really sick of being lied to by public servants. I'm really sick of being lied to by a corrupt and controlled media. And I'm sick of warmongering little dweebs like Tony Abbott doing everything they can to destroy their countries. And it's not just Tony Abbott, it's also Barack Obama, David Cameron, Stephen Harper. All of these cretins are doing everything they can to destroy their countries and enslave their populations. And I think it's about time we called them out, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what I'm doing, and that's why I do these shows. And for me, the gloves have come off, folks. It's time to really call a spade and name these people for what they are. They're all lunatics, psychopaths, and warmongers, and I think we could do far better with honest people at the helm rather than the current crop of criminals who we seem to have in seats of power in all of our countries. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks, so that is it for me this week. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to thecrowhouse.com. They are very few and far between at the moment. If you can make one, it would be a huge help to me at the moment. I really could do with some support, so please do consider making a contribution to the Crow House. But that is it for me, folks. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In La Keshe.